listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
So I think, proved my street cred within the studio by informing Nathan and Megan that this song is now at the top of my running songs to which I run. This is great. I mean, it just, you can't not run well when you got the song in your headset. And I put it on a loop.
It's a good song.
It's a great song.
It is a good song.
By the way, Bill, Browns fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or please call 440-824-3434 today. And I don't know of a bigger Pharrell fan in the world than our next guest, Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns.
You're absolutely right, Seth. Thank you. You guys are opening up my musical tastes.
How you doing?
I am great.
Well, let's talk about the Combine and some of the, I know that was must viewing, must see TV for you, Jim, as you saw this. I mean, the overriding theme, lots of really good athletes who run fast, who do all those things that you can do at a Combine to get noticed. And honestly, I think it has to make you feel better to know the Browns have 10 picks in this particular draft.
It does, Vic. You're right. I mean, you know, and we touched on this last week. I mean, last year's draft was so thin that by early on Saturday, which was the third day of that draft, and obviously that was really the day that the Browns started trading out of some of those rounds and working those deals to get these picks for this year's draft. I really think that it was difficult to find players that, at that level and at that time in that draft, they could come into the NFL and contribute and be a part of your roster. So it is good. Yeah, this looks to be a much deeper draft, a much more talented draft. And when you're sitting with as many picks as the Browns have and as many needs as the Browns have, I think it's a good combination for them. They hit it at the right time.
We've heard the general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers say that this is the deepest draft in 35 years. So, yes, it is good that the Browns have all those picks. What was your key takeaway from watching the combine coverage? Anything that really stood out to you about a position group or how it relates to what the Browns, in your opinion, should do at number four?
Well, I'll tell you what, Nathan, I think that's going to be an ever-changing story. What are they going to do at number four? And with the draft being pushed to May now, we've got even longer to really settle in at what they're going to do and all the different strategies. I think that's going to change week to week. The thing that I noticed was just incredible speed and how these guys, at every position, even the linemen ran well. But Johnny Manziel ran well. Bortles ran pretty decent. So the quarterbacks look to be very, very athletic. The ones that we would think that the Browns would be looking at. And Sammy Watkins he looks like he could be running – in Rio in a couple of years in the Olympics. I mean, the speed seems to be really prevalent in the draft. I think all of that looks very, very enticing. If you really need that, and I think a lot of people and a lot of teams really do need that. So that was the thing. I really enjoyed listening, to the various guys speak, though, at the podium. To us, I mean, that's especially Manziel and what a transformation he's made since, that big year at Texas A&M when he won the Heisman, and how he's handled things and how he's been very upfront and addressed them, and he's been very forthright, it seems, about them. And, he said a lot of good things. I mean, now whether or not he was coached well, not only in his skills as a quarterback, but what his answers were going to be, it all came out well. I thought he came out of the weekend looking pretty good.
He, I think, was coached very well. And if you can take coaching and demonstrate it, that's not necessarily a bad thing either, but he definitely followed a pretty good script. That's a lot of the feedback. And I'm hearing, by the way, that carried over into the one-on-ones he did with some of the teams that have talked with him. And what I'm hearing, by the way, is the Browns opted not to talk with quarterbacks at the combine. Instead, they're going to get to, because another part of the pre-draft process is you can bring the players to your facility, and they're going to have, instead of the 15 minutes that you have at the combine, an hour with each of the players they can bring in here. And the strategy behind this, as I understand it, is they want the ability to get the guy through his script, because there's no way he's got a script that carries for a full hour. You can carry a script for a chunk of the 15 minutes and then get into the real stuff that you want to hear from him or try to hear from him. And in an hour window, they feel they'll be a little more in control of the conversation. I think it's a good idea to do that.
Now, let me go back, Vic. Yeah, I totally agree with you. Yeah, I you know, what can you really get done in 15 minutes? But I want to go back to early on. You remember Peter Warwick, the great player that came out of Florida State, right?
Yep. Yes, yeah. I do.
Well, I remember when the Browns brought him into Cleveland, and he was high on their board. I mean, he was one of the great players coming out of college football that year and into the draft. And, of course, the Browns were very high, if not right all the way up. I think that might have been the year they got Courtney Brown. Anyway, Peter Warwick comes out. He arrives in Berea, and he's in full camouflage. Full camouflage. And at that point, Al Lerner, who was a devout and respected and very proud to be a Marine, said, we can remove him from our draft board. So, I mean, you're right. I mean, when they visit here or, you know, wherever you're bringing them in, I think that that's much more of an important visit than 15 minutes sitting at Indianapolis.
So Al didn't think he was, like, on a hunting trip or something, maybe?
He did not.
Okay.
No, and let me just say this. Al did not feel that you could go to battle with Peter Warwick just because of the way he was dressed.
And look at how it played out.
As I say, it turned out to be a pretty astute on his part.
Pretty
one of the things
tactic.
I was reading Collision Low Crossers, you know, as we read the book, which talks about the Jet season with Mike Pettine. They get into that process pretty significantly. You can have 30 players come in for the pre-draft visits, and you get a very good detailed account of those kind of interviews, the things that they're looking for in the players, et cetera. So, again, for another reason to pick it up, I thought that was a pretty fascinating part of it. Blake Bortles, Jim, your assessment of what he did as the only top quarterback throwing at the Combine.
Well, I mean, I like the fact that he threw, and I understand the other guys. I mean, I've read all the reasoning why they don't throw, but I like the fact that he did throw. I mean, I think that, you know, some people were a little, you know, taken back by, you know, his what he said at times that he still needs to be coached, but everybody needs to be coached. I mean, nobody comes in here perfect, not even Andrew Luck when he came in, and everyone said he was the most, you know, safe quarterback that NFL-ready quarterback to come into the NFL and into the draft in a long, long time. I mean, everybody needs to be coached. So I like the fact that he threw. I just think it proves that, you know, he's ready to go, and he wants to show it. He's not hiding anything. And if he has a good day throwing the ball, I mean, he's confident in what he can do, and he's probably even more confident when he gets in his own workout day. What I thought was a great, great dissertation about these quarterbacks was by Mike Mayock, and when, especially in regards to Manziel, when he talked about his level of comfort inside that pocket, you know, would he stay in the pocket or does he like to eject and get outside and make his plays out there? And, you know, when I go back and remember all of these young quarterbacks that come to the Browns, Brady Quinn, Colt McCoy, Tim Couch. And so I think it's prevalent in a lot of young quarterbacks, and especially with these spread offenses so prevalent in the in college now, is they really like to get outside the pocket. They make their plays outside the pocket. But probably, and I don't know if you guys agree, at some point you have to commit to the pocket and stay in the pocket. And I thought that was really fascinating that, you know, he wondered out loud if Johnny Manziel could live in the pocket, or is he just going to be somebody that's going to pull the cord and get to the left or to the right and really at that point cut that field down by a third?
Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns. You hear him, of course, on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network with Doug Deacon. You hear him regularly on this show, CBD. Jim, I also want to get into a big story that broke this weekend. Just get your take on it. Of course, it finally sifted itself out to be something that was initially denied by the 49ers, and now both sides, the Browns and the Niners, confirming that there was a discussion between the Browns, and I guess initiated by the Browns, to see if they could actually make a trade with the 49ers to acquire Jim Harbaugh as their head coach, this being done in the coaching search before Mike Pettine was hired. You and I know over the weekend went a little back and forth on this talking about it, but I just want to hear your thoughts.
Well, you know, from our standpoint, from the Browns' standpoint, first of all, the overriding thought is, wow, what an intriguing story. Number two is, from the Browns' standpoint, and I think people should say, you know, at least this is what I'm going to say about it, I think it's great. I mean, I thought it was, it showed that they were trying to do whatever they could do to try and get the best possible guy that they could get, even to pull a maneuver like that and try and trade to get a coach. I mean, you know, not many people do it. It hasn't been done a lot. It has been done before, and with some degree of success. But I think that it proved that they were out to try and do whatever they could do to try and get the best possible candidate here. So from the Browns side, I mean, I thought that it, you know, they just really tried to explore every possible avenue to find a guy that could come in here and lead the team. So I have no problem with it from the Browns thing. And it is fascinating. What a fascinating story when you consider the success and that the 49ers would take the phone call in the first place because of the success that Harbaugh has had instantaneously in turning that franchise around and making them a tough, you know, playoff-ready franchise that has gone, you know, to one Super Bowl and to the NFC Championship game like 3 years in a row. I mean, that's fascinating on their side. Now, on their side, of course, there's that, you know, it's different than on the Browns side because the Browns didn't get it done and they got their head coach. But on their side, now Harbaugh's still there, obviously, and you wonder what's going on there. But as far as what the Cleveland Browns did, I think that we should say, hey, it proves that they were out trying to get every possibility turned around that they could try and find somebody that could come in here and get this franchise going on the field.
If he could bring Colin Kaepernick, the O-line, the defense, everything, all that, all those components with him, that would be a great trade.
Yeah, it sure would be.
But that isn't how it works out. And Jim, you heard Mike Pettine's response to it too.
I thought he was great, Vic. Yeah. I tell you what, he's done very well at his opening press conference and at his press conference in Indianapolis. I mean, he just seems to be, you know, he hits the nail right on the head all the time, and he hits it hard right on the head, right away. And, you know, I thought he was, you know, I just thought it was, I thought his response was terrific. I really did.
I like the fact that I think we're entering in an era that is going to be certainly different in relation to the media than the past era, and that you're going to have a coach who doesn't speak so much in coach speak, who tells you what he feels, tells you how he feels, and a GM who's available to the media and is open and talks as well. I think it's very exciting. That, to me, is exciting as a Browns fan. And to echo your point, Jim, this is a story that as a Browns fan, you say, listen, they're doing everything that they can to get this right. This is where we've gotten to. This is what they feel is right. That's great. We're going forward. If you're a 49ers fan, I'd be worried. I would be worried. There is some dysfunction at the junction happening there if they're even thinking about talking about moving Jim Harbaugh.
Right. Yeah. Hey, the other thing, Nathan, and back to your point about, you know, we're entering into that period where I think we're going to have a guy that's going to tell you how he feels, and I really like that. I want to know if he's ticked off.
Yes.
You know, I really do. If he's displeased with the way they practiced or the way they played, or, you know, or if he's thrilled with the way they practiced or the way they played, I like the fact that he's going to tell us.
Yes,
you know, and I really do believe he's going to tell us. So I think people are going to have a very good read on what his temperature is on a Monday after a Sunday game, and probably a pretty good read on a Sunday afternoon after a Sunday game.
Yeah, I think that is consistent with what we've seen from him. Jim, thank you so much, and we will.
It's always good to talk to you.
Talk soon.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. That is Jim Donovan. He is the voice of the Browns, and he joins us here regularly. Sat in for Nathan a couple of days this past week, too. Does a tremendous job, of course, and we always love to hear what he has to say. We love to hear what you have to say. 216-578-0850. 216-578-0850. Bark and growl at us from the pound at Browns_daily is the way to tweet to us. Megan Rock, by the way, she's rebounded very well on the waterfront. Came up with, how do you like that? On the waterfront. Brought up a bunch of bottles of water to us.
Megan Rock's a baller.
And Megan Rock is going to get this refrigerator restocked soon, or at least she's going to demand answers from those. Actually, because she delegated. Now,
heads are rolling.
To whom she delegated, their butts are on the line. All right, we've got more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, ESPN 850, WKNR.